Welcome to Activate Yourself with Gita Sidhu Rob, where we feature otherwise normal people who, because of events in their life, have turned left and done unusual, inspiring, incredible things, like build a business, become a happiness expert, marry a prince, create an empire, or like your host, set up a health and wellness business, Nosh Detox. Here's your host, Gita Sidhu Rob.
Hi, my name is Gita Sidhu Rob, and I'm here today with somebody. Look, I don't know what happened when you felt like a lifetime moment happened to you, but my guest today decided at 40 that it wasn't enough to have impact. It wasn't enough to be married, successful, and have babies. She needed to just do a little extra. And because she's extra, a little extra ended up being climbing bloody Mount Kilimanjaro. No, let's just be clear. That wasn't enough. So she climbs Mount Kilimanjaro, but then she raised enough money to make a documentary about climbing Mount Kilimanjaro, because that's not enough. And then that documentary, they raised £80,000, crowdfunded it, Natch, and then decided that that was going to be shown on Prime. So I don't know if you felt inadequate this morning, but welcome to feeling just a tad more inadequate. But hopefully by the end of this, you'll be inspired by what can be done when you become bloody minded enough to decide it's going to be done. Rupinder, welcome. It's been a long time coming. I'm really happy to have you on the show.
Hey, Gita, thanks for having me. Gosh, what an introduction. I loved that.
I was going to have the benefit of being real too, didn't it?
Yes, I know. And that's the thing, isn't it? Even when you hear something back, you're like, oh my goodness, that was me. I did that. But yes, yeah, all of it's true.
Yeah, really. So talk to me. Like, what?
Yeah.
We're in the green room before and you're like, and I was like, oh my God, get this woman on air as fast as possible. Because you're like, I wanted to do something different. I did all those things. And so we came down to the fact that with Kilimanjaro, it was something for you, by you.
So, yeah.
Firstly, you had kids and you climbed Kilimanjaro. So how did the whole family thing work? And then we can go to external bit by bit.
Yeah, so I've led a really, well, I would say quite an unremarkable life up until this point, insofar as my story isn't very unusual. It's the story of, you know, many of us who were born to, particularly South Asian migrants. I grew up in inner city Wolverhampton. And I was given this, you know, that success checklist that we're given,
yeah,
about what success looks like, particularly in our community. But I think this is broadly for many of us. It was, you know, do well academically, go to university, get a degree. I got a master's as well.
Clearly.
Go and, you know, be very successful in your corporate career. And that was so different to what my parents did. They were very much in blue collar skill based jobs, and they're aspiration was, we want you to go to university, we want you to break free from that, and, you know, we want you to have a successful career.
We want you to have more.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I did. I went into a corporate HR career. I met my husband when I was 23. We got engaged when I was 24. I married him when I was 25. We bought our house when I was 26. And then went on to have our children. And I was just living this life with this path that had been laid before me. And everything was perfect, Gita. My life is beautiful. It looks picture perfect. It is beautiful. But I got to the age of 40, and I think this is a pivotal age for so many of us, that I just had this moment of, I've lived my life according to this rule book that's been given to me.
Good girl, or else, I think it's called.
Yes, yeah, exactly that. And that's not to sound ungrateful or unappreciative of all of it. I've loved every single minute of it. I love being a mum. I love being a wife. I loved my corporate career. I loved the fact that I was able to build a side hustle out of it. But I got to the age of 40 and I heard this whisper, and the whisper was, come to Africa, come and climb Mount Kilimanjaro.
I'm so with you on this. Everyone should go to Africa. This is
the
bottom line.
But for me, it didn't make sense, because our family lineage, there's a lot of family lineage that comes from Africa. Ours is very much from North India, it's from Punjab. We, you know, no one in my family, I wasn't an outdoors person. I wasn't hiking. I wasn't... And I often
you didn't
say,
have camping, babe. Yeah. Me. I'd like to make a list of how many South Asian women ever go camping voluntarily. I now see a list of two people, and that's because they're weird. Because we do not do this stuff. It is so antithetical to us.
Yeah, we do. And it's so far out. I mean, honestly, I was the type of person, you know, when I went to a shopping center, I wouldn't even take the stairs. I would, you know, it was so out of the ordinary.
That's hysterical.
This whisper just wouldn't go away. It just kept coming up. It was about adventure. It was about freedom. It was about doing something for myself that didn't come from my parents, my husband, my kids, my in-laws. It came from me.
I have a question. Did the people around you find that threatening?
They found it bloody weird. My husband looked at me like I'd grown an extra head, only because he was like, I've never even seen, like, I didn't even own a pair of hiking boots. I didn't have any of the gear. He was like, I don't understand where this has come from. And yeah, and everyone around, they just found it really weird.
I love that.
And looking back, I think I was very much going through a midlife awakening. But yeah, I had that conversation with my husband. I said, look, I really want to go and do this. And he was very candid. He said to me, he said, I don't want to do that. I'm never going to want to do that. But if you want to do it, you must. And, you know, go and do whatever it is that you want to do. And I'm here. I've got the kids. I'll hold it down. And then what I started to do was that whisper, you know, initially these things come up and we just bury them because they're so far out of the ordinary. They're so far.
You're like, I'll just lie down till the feeling goes away.
Yes. Yeah. Like, I'll just take a minute. This is so out of the ordinary, but it wouldn't go. It just did. And if anything, it just kept getting louder. It just kept getting louder and louder. And then I started talking about it within the South Asian community and with women I knew. And this is the bit that really shocked me, because I was just whispering it and saying, I've got this calling, I've got this desire, I want to go and climb this mountain. I don't know why, I just want to go and do it. And my whisper was just met with this roar that came back, and more brown women, more and more South Asian women were saying, I want to come too. Can I join you? Can we do this together? And so in 2022, what happened was that I ended up taking the first all South Asian female group to Tanzania to go and climb Mount Kilimanjaro.
Oh, goosebumps.
And we were, none of us were professional athletes. None of us were mountaineers. We were mums. We were daughters, grandmothers. We were business owners, professionals, dentists, teachers.
Okay, but please tell me somebody did it in a Punjabi suit. Please tell me an auntie who went off in a, please tell me that. Please, God. That's the best girl I have in my life.
I had to watch the film to see how it went down. But the key to it was that while we were training, so we spent a year training together.
Who set that up? Like, who set up your training program and how did that come about?
So I put the group together. We worked with a female-owned travel adventure company, and then we got in touch with a local training company, and they kind of put together a semblance of a plan and said, you know, these are the kinds of things that you need to be mindful of and doing. And so things like, you know, we'd never been camping before, so we put together a camping weekend. We put together a training schedule that included hiking Mount Snowdon in Wales, but overnight, because when you set up off to summit Mount Kilimanjaro, you set off in the middle of the night. So it's one thing hiking during the day, it's a completely another thing when you're hiking and it's pitch black.
Why do you have to do it at night?
Because you've got to get there on time for the sunrise in order to get back in time, so it's still safe to do so. And to everyone, if ever you're hiking and you want to go to Mount Kilimanjaro, everyone summits at you set off at midnight to give yourself enough time to get up there and get back down. But the first time you do that, you don't want to be doing that in Africa. Like, you want to know what it feels like to be hiking and walking in the dark. So we did a climb here in Snowdon. But I was watching this scene unfold and I thought, this is such a compelling story that's never been told. Like, we've never seen a group of women like this who have dared to break barriers, have dared to step out their norm and their families and do something just for themselves. And this idea of having this film that you mentioned was just came to me. I thought, we need to document this.
Oh, hang on. We have to come back and do that. We're going to go on a quick break.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list? Then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one super supplement brand, help you achieve that in the most convenient and comprehensive way possible. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, sleep, emotional balance, and more. Benefit from the power, purity, and positivity of our award-winning powder sachets or our therapeutic capsule range. Use code RADIO15 at reviveactive.com and save 15% off today. Super supplements for a super you.
Cappuccino, latte, Americano, flat white, macchiato. Just imagine, for less than the price of a single cup of coffee out on the high street, you could enjoy an award-winning online magazine every month with up-to-the-minute information on health and healthy lifestyle. Sounds like a good trade-off? Check out Health Triangle magazine on the UKHealthRadio.com website. Just sacrifice a single cup of coffee every month.
Let's all put health first.
The station that makes you feel good.
So we're back. And at the moment, I feel a little bit like I'm in one of Gurinder's films because, you know, Gurinder Chadha. I do feel a little bit like Bhaji in the Beach kind of happened in front of my eyes while you were saying that. I was like, I'm about to think, let me just phone Gurinder and I go, hang on. So it's such a Gurinder thing somehow, but yours is real life, right? So you think, okay, let me document this. And then what happens?
Yeah, so I think, let me document this. And so can you imagine my family and friends and the reaction I'd already had from, oh my God, she's taking a group of women to Tanzania and they're actually going to do this, to, and now she thinks she's going to get a filmmaker to come and join them. But I just thought that this is too important not to document. And I thought, this is the level of representation we need, and this is the level of inspiration we need. My background is not in filmmaking. I have zero industry contacts and experience, but I know enough about the community and how to network and how to reach out to people. So I just went out to the community and said, this is what I'm thinking of doing. Who knows a filmmaker that might be interested? And there was one name that kept coming back, and she's a female, South Asian female documentary maker. Redmond Riot had made a film previously called Toxification. She didn't know me. I didn't know her. I literally got her number and cold called her.
Wow.
And I just said, look, you don't know me. I don't know you. I've seen your work. This is what I'm thinking. This is the vision. We're taking the first all South Asian female group to Tanzania. I feel like this is a story that needs to be captured. If we don't do this, Netflix isn't coming knocking on my door. Prime hasn't come knocking on my door. We need to be the ones that are doing this and thinking about how we can represent ourselves. So she said, right, give me 24 hours. I need to think about this, because she herself isn't necessarily an outdoors person. And she said, I just need to consider the
she's like, I've got to climb with you.
Yes, exactly that. She's like, let me figure out how am I going to do this and make it happen. So she came back to me within 24 hours and said, look, I'm in, but we need to have another filmmaker with me. There needs to be two of us that are going. I need to fully cost this out and give you the budget, and then we need to agree that this is what we're going to be doing.
So that's love this woman already. That's so then she comes back to you and you're lucky you're sitting down, because she's like, oh God, it's going to cost.
And do you know how naive I was? I laugh at my naivety now, but I think sometimes naivety is a good thing.
Oh, it's the best. It's the very best. What you don't know, you can't be afraid of.
Exactly that, right? And so I just, because I remember saying to her on the phone, look, I know I've got to cover your costs. I know I've got to cover the filmmaker, the other filmmaker, the travel costs. So maybe on top of that, I don't know. So maybe it's an additional 10K or something. That's okay. We've got it covered. We'll do it. So she said, look, let me come back to you. So she came back to me and she sent me the spreadsheet. She said, look, you need to be sitting down because we need to go through this together. And when I opened that spreadsheet, Geeta, it was the budget that, and it was fully costed budget. Everything was bona fide. Everything was legitimate. But it was £90,000 is what she came back with. So just shy of six figures. And that conversation was, I think it was a bit of a gulp conversation.
I was going to say slightly gobsmacking.
Yeah. And also a conversation about how much do I believe in this? How much do I want to do this? It's not the same as investing in a business or a commercial venture or something that you're going to get a return on, like a monetary return on. So you've got to really think it through in terms of how much does this mean to me?
Tell you what I'm listening, what I'm hearing when I'm listening to you. It's almost like you were being forced to measure how seriously you took yourself at every step.
Yes, yes.
Honestly, that's what I can hear.
Yeah, yeah. And how important and significant is this? And
No. How important and significant are my desires and wishes?
Yes, yeah.
It's so personal to you, this. And I know you keep trying to avoid that because you're a woman. But actually, it's super, super, super personal to you. It's how seriously do I take myself? How seriously do I take what I want to do? How seriously do I take my ability to make it happen?
Yeah.
Every step of the way, I think you were putting down a flag for who you were. So yeah. This entire experience has to have left you. We'll get there. Completely changed.
Really, really has.
And obviously, because of this.
Yeah. But that first conversation with her was full of doubt. And I remember putting the phone down and me and my husband were at the kitchen table and my daughter there, who was only nine, ten then, she was doing her homework. And so we're just kind of having this conversation and fleshing it out and think, you know, am I going to do this? Do I do this? Because the one thing, and quite rightly, the filmmaker said, she said, there's a contract here. This is the amount. You're going to be personally liable for this amount. So if we're going to do this, there needs to be the level of conviction and confidence that every time I send you an invoice, it's going to be paid. Otherwise, yeah. I can't take on this project. And that was quite right. But I was having this conversation with my husband and my Daya looked up and she just said to me, she said, Mummy, I'm watching you and the aunties get ready for Kilimanjaro. She said, maybe when I watch the film and others watch the film, we will take on Mount Everest. And that was the moment.
Yeah, you're like, I'm doing this.
Yeah, and I said to my husband, I said, look, this isn't a vanity project. This is a legacy project. I want not just my daughter, I want everyone who watches this to, and it doesn't have to be a mountain, but anything that you think is possible.
Everything that's difficult is a mountain.
Yeah, all of that. And if our mums and this group can do this, what is possible for us? So I just said, look, give me the pen. I'm signing this contract. And
you signed it before you raised the money?
Yeah. Yeah. I signed the contract before I raised the money. I said, I'm going to get
that's great.
I'm going to get this money because that was the only way to do it. We were, you know, we were months away from doing the trip. The filmmaker wanted that level of commitment and I had to have that level of faith and certainty that this was a story worth telling and that we could do it.
Holy bananas. Okay, wait. So I don't want to go for a break. Just tell me how you raised the money and then we'll go for a break.
So we reached out to our community. I'm a big believer in community and I think it comes back to my roots and certainly our roots as migrants and my parents, you know, that.
Yeah, and our faith. I think the community of being Sikh as well is I think it comes entirely from that.
Yeah, and the idea of collective progress. And so I went out to the South Asian community, particularly women, and I said, you know, this is what we're doing. We're off to Africa. We're climbing this mountain. We believe this is a story worth documenting. This is a story. Will you support it? Will you give us this is the amount of money I need to raise for it. And we had certain markers in place. You know, we had to raise £25,000 before we left because that was going to cover the pre-production costs and the travel costs. And I always actually said, this is a marker of our community. And if they really want this, because if I put this out there and they only give me, you know, 50p, well, that's a really clear message that, Rapinda, this isn't something we want to see. And that's, I would have been really disappointed, but then you kind of just think, well, the community and the market and the audience are telling us that they don't want that.
Yeah.
But actually what they did come back with and said, they said yes. So again, the roar came back. We got you. We've got this. This is a story worth telling. Here's our money. All of the money, all of that crowdfunding came from our community. It came from small business owners. It came from
individuals,
but it also came from Algita. It came from, you know, when I was doing talks and when we were sharing the story, it came from the grandmothers and the aunties and the bibbies who, you know, would come up to me and give me £10,
like just
give me £10 and press it in my hand and say,
from the hanky.
Yeah, you know it. You know it's still warm.
And just
said, look, we could never have done this. We think what you're doing is amazing, and we believe in this. And so collectively, that's how we raised the money. And
how long did it take to raise it?
It took over a year to get the full funds. Like, and the, you know, the fundraising before we left was very heightened, and just after we came back as well. But that's the other thing. Documentaries and films take a long, long
time.
Like, I hadn't realized how long. I mean, we came back with hours of footage that had to be edited down and that had to be put pieced together. But all of that costs money. All of the post-production things cost money as well. So it's a long journey to keep going and keep batting for it. And it even when, so you know what happens, people join a project and they're really enthusiastic and then life takes over for them. But when it's, you know, my name was on this project and my face was attached to it, and I couldn't give up. I had to keep going and getting all the funds in place to get the film out there.
We're going on a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Prime.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries
and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So we're back. And so Prime, what happened with Amazon Prime? How did you get that on Prime?
Yeah, so we're still in the middle of getting the film ready for Prime. It will be out this autumn. I just went knocking on all of the distribution and streaming platforms. And I'm still persisting with others as well. But Prime were the most open to it being on that platform. There's certain things that you have to fill in order to get it on that platform, which is what we're doing now, just to get it tidied up and get it ready for there. But the commitment I had made to our community and to our sponsors and to our contributors was, this film will be on a mainstream platform, like by hook or crook.
So you had had that intention from then.
Yes, because I believed in it. And I'm watching all of these other documentaries and films, and I don't see women that look like me. I don't see women from our community. Or if I do, they're in such cliched, stereotyped roles.
Yeah.
That why can't we show women climbing a mountain, of breaking barriers, of breaking through, of that being encouraging and inspiring? So I just thought, if I don't go to them and if I don't keep persisting with this, and it wasn't a straight up yes, and it has been a constant backwards and forwards over the last 18 months. But I believe if you believe in something enough, you have to keep going back, even when the answer is no. And
you just, what do you do? How do you find a streaming platform to knock on the door of?
Yeah, you go onto Google, and you also go onto LinkedIn, and you put in the job description, and then you message everyone. Like, it's cold messaging, it's reaching out, but it's also reaching out to people that may potentially know them. I believe in 6 degrees of connection as well.
No, I agree completely.
And just being the word I was going to say, just being a bit shameless about it.
I was going to say bloody minded. I don't think it's shameless. Like that. Indian, dump that. Bloody minded, I think.
Yeah, I love that. Bloody minded about it. That I'm not going to just take the first no. I'm going to keep going with this until this happens.
So does Prime pay you? Or do you?
They pay you per views.
Ooh, well, that's helpful.
It is helpful. Yes. Yeah. And also it means that it gives us an opportunity to get, and you know this, it gives us an opportunity to get our marketing plan, our launch plan ready. And again, to
TikTok.
You are the queen of TikTok, so I'm going to be coming to you.
Definitely TikTok.
Yeah, because galvanizing our community again and saying it's on there now. Go and watch it. Go and spread the word. Go and share it. Let's get it out there.
Love it so much. Can you imagine if 1% of the whole of Punjab watched it, where you'd be? 1%.
Yeah. And that's the thing, isn't it? It's all of that is incredible, but the impact of it is what sits, like, is the reason we did it. And the impact, you know, I talked about, it's about people who watch it or hear the story. So even without the film having been out on mainstream platforms yet, people have heard of the story, and women are messaging me and saying, oh, I went to Tanzania, I climbed Mount Kili, or I went to Wales and I decided to get some hiking boots and do Snowdon, or I did. And it's not even younger women, it's older women. It's our, you know, women of our mum's generation saying, actually, I went to Canada and I decided to go to Mount Whistler, and I saw the clips of you doing it, so I thought I'm going to do it too. That's what we want to do. We want to normalize following your dreams and your ambitions and your aspirations.
Always. No, I agree so much. That has been the literal story of my whole life.
Exactly.
I believe in it entirely, and there was no one doing it for me to see. No one. And I was like, no, I'm just going to. And I always remember thinking that I had failed at things that I hadn't, you know, I was the first non-white woman, the first to stand for parliament in this country. And I remember I stopped because I had, my son was really ill, and you know, and I remember a woman MP coming to me and going, oh, well, you decided to stop, so we carried on. And I was like, that wasn't very nice. It wasn't said in a nice way. And I remember feeling like I'd failed. And I was on a stage with, heavens, who was it? One of the baronesses who was in that, who was the first Asian baroness? It could have been. And we were on a stage somewhere, and she actually, there were four of us speaking, and she got up to speak and she said, well, my story starts because I saw someone on TV and I thought, if she can, I can. And so she said, so I turned around to me and said, you know, I want to thank you, Geeta, for having been that person. And I was like,
I love that.
And she said she doesn't even know this. And I was like, you're right. I was like in tears. I did not know that. And I thought, oh, I didn't fail. Actually, if I inspiration in you, then I didn't fail, and we're doing really well, you know. Yeah. So it always does that, because it's so hard to be the first of all these things. So it's nice to be the person that provides a star that other people can follow, right?
Yeah, and so often we don't try to do things because we're afraid of failure, we're afraid of public failure, right? So for me, there was a little bit of, right, I'm putting this out there, and what if I don't raise the funds? And it's on such a public scale, and I have to then say, I'm not going to do this. And I had to sit with that and say, well, that's just my pride and my ego. And it's,
I was going to say, and you, yeah, and every time you'll find, I do it a lot, right? So I do a lot of things very publicly, very big, that regularly fail and succeed. And I think it's only the first time you think, oh my God. And then after that, you kind of think it's the doing that's the success.
Yes.
It's not actually, and you think that's stupid. It needs to this, but it isn't, because if you define success as the doing, it changes it completely for you and for everyone who's joining you in it. I have learned painfully over the years that it's having the conversation that is the actual transformation.
Yeah, that's so spot on. And I think that's been the biggest thing about the storytelling of this how I did it and the fundraising and getting out there, because not everything. I mean, people have gone on to have been inspired by this and have gone on to fundraise for various other things, and maybe not had the same. And I'm going to say success in inverted commas, because whatever does, but maybe they didn't reach their monetary goals like I did. And they said, "Oh, Rupinda, you know, you made it look so easy." And I said, "It absolutely wasn't easy." And there were moments of crippling self-doubt of,
yeah,
how am I going to pull this off? And moments of, you know, pitching the story to organizations and sponsors and them not being interested, and the frustration of that, and the being, I sent thousands of emails. Maybe got a reply. Most of them are probably binned, you know, but and maybe not seen. But you've just got to keep digging deep and picking yourself up and just keep going back. Like, it's not easy. And if I've made it look easy, that's absolutely not the case at all. But what you said, the ability
to... I was going to say, if you make it look easy, then just smile and keep going. Yeah, whatever. Sorry, say the last bit again where I interrupted you.
I was just saying, but it's the ability to take action. That's what I'm most proud of. Like, it's the ability of fighting through that self-doubt and getting on with it.
It is. Yeah, and it's, you know, the brain is neuroplasticity incarnate. So every time you do it, the next time it's easier. Like, I remember, looking at things that were national and thinking, and then I was like, we're just going to go do this. And then I was like, so I've done it nationally like 2 or 3 times. How about international? I wonder if that works, you know. And then you're like, oh well, the world is there. Let's try, you know. And after a while, it's like, me, what's going to happen? Like, I'll have the conversation. The doing will create the change. It creates the shift. Okay, so in the last minute or so, you do so much more. People should look you up. Because you do lots of, you set up the organization for Asian Women Mean Business, and you're on Forbes Coaching Council and all this stuff. But tell me what has changed in you as a result of this. And it's sentences that I am and I feel.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. I came off that mountain literally feeling 6 foot tall, like battered, broken, but just came off feeling that what it did to my brain's chemistry, both climbing Mount Kilimanjaro and the fundraising and the film, what it's done to my brain's chemistry and what I think is possible is there's no going back. I think it's created a monster, because there's no going back. And yeah, I had the attitude, the approach I have now, there's nothing is impossible. We can do anything. You break it down, you have a plan, particularly if you have community support with you, it's all of it is possible.
Yeah, I always believe that. I think every desire is born with the wherewithal to make that desire a reality.
Beautiful. Exactly that.
Yeah. So I'm a huge fan, because my desires tend to inevitably get bigger, and I have to remind myself constantly that there's a thing that's coming. It was amazing to have you on. Thank you so much for joining me.
I'm delighted to have joined you. Thank you so much for having me.
So this was the wonderful Rupinda Kaur, and I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. I felt like the time completely flew, and I want to know why I haven't managed to like pitch something at Prime and make that. And I wonder if you all are going to go climb a mountain now, because you've been listening to this. Let me know if you do, all right? Because I want to know where that came from. My name is Geeta Sidhu Rob, and this is Activate Yourself, and I will be with you again soon.
Thank you so much for joining us. Our goal was to give you pause, make you think about your life, and inspire you to say, wow, what if I tried to do that? If they can do it, so can I. Did it work? Let us know by finding us on social media at Geeta Sidhu Rob or at Nosh Detox. We upload new shows every 2 weeks here. And if you start to miss us, check us out on YouTube.